Welcome back to Nuggets on the Go, cracking the code series. One of the key things that a lot of people make decisions on when it comes to investing in real estate is that they like to look at past data. So today we're going to talk about past data versus actual demand and supply kind of statistics. Let's go. What's happening in the market is that no matter what webinars you attend, what reports that you're looking at, especially if you look at past quarterly reports or you look at transaction numbers on any portals or any kind of like real estate tools, you usually look at transacted data. And of course, that is what we call past transactions, or we refer it to as caveats. If you go to the Western part of the world, if you go to US, they always talk about this as comms. They call it comparative market data. So in Singapore, we like to refer it as past transactions. Past transactions are readily available if you subscribe to tools on like Property Guru, or you go to like Squarefoot or HProp. There are a lot of tools available to look at past transactions. And one very important thing to know about past transactions is that in Singapore, when a real estate transaction takes place, a transaction takes about 3 months in weeks format. We call it about 8 to 12 weeks to complete the deal. And the reason is because when a buyer exercises the option after placing an option fee, from the day of placing an option fee towards the exercise period, there's usually about 14 to 28 days in between. And during that period, the transaction is not yet lodged into the government authorities kind of database, which would then be populated through RealList. And then from RealList, through various API, it will be clocked towards the proprietary tools. Usually, there's already a laggard kind of time period from the option period itself. But not forgetting that once the option has been exercised, the buyer would then need to pay a buyer stamp duty, which would then be the second phase, because once they pay the stamp duty, then technically the caveat will be lodged. But from the day of paying stamp duty, there will still be a period whereby this data is being populated into RealList, and then from there is populated out. So all in, most of the time when we look at past transactions, the data could be lagged by about 1 to 3 months. And thus, if we were to make decisions based on past transactions, it might not be a full accurate picture of what is to come. So firstly, we want to look at the past number of transactions on a year-to-year basis. So for example, if you go to this tool on HProp, you'll be able to see in terms of like landed residential properties, let's say we set to all tenure. This is just an example of what usually is the transacted amount of demand per year on landed properties. Of course, for demand to happen, supply also must be readily available. If there's nobody that wants to sell, even how many people want to buy, there's also no transaction that will match. So it usually takes two hands to clap, and these are the hands that has clapped successfully. So for 2016, 1,391 transacted landed homes, 2392 for 2017. 2021 was a fantastic year, 3667, because there was a lot of pent-up demand after COVID. 2022 last year, 2,078 units. 2023 until today is about 1,247 units that's being transacted. These are all landed residential properties. That means it's a combination of inter, corner, semi-detached homes, as well as GCBs. They are all within this spectrum. So 1,200, if we divide by 10 per month, probably is about 120 units that has been done this year. So we still have about 3 months to go. If we add in about another 360 units, probably we'll end the year with about 1,600 units being transacted for this year. So 2023 might have a transaction volume that's very similar to 2019. So let's come to this figure here. So what we have done in our PRB research team. Now, our research team is called the RECI team. Basically, it's a short form for Real Estate Knowledge Institute. We have just launched our website on our PRB page. You can head on to propertyinvest.com/this link right here. And we're going to make it available. From that page, you'll be able to access some of the charts that we have. And have a look at this data. We have extracted January to September done deals transaction, and we have segregated them into two portions. One is district number. Second one is the type of lender home that is being transacted. We have omitted GCBs. We are focusing on terrace units. Basically, inter and corner is lumped into this segment. Strata landed condominium, strata landed apartments, semi-detached as well as detached. So if, for example, if you are very interested in District 19, you'll be able to see that the amount of transactions that is being done in D19, there are 131 terrace homes that has been sold successfully. In totality, from Jan to September, in this first 9 months of the year, 182 transactions in D19. If you look at D15, 123 transactions. If you look at D10, 133 transactions. So the top three transactor districts will then belong to D10, D15, as well as D19. If you look at D28, which some of you are very interested, D28 will be the Seletar area. And we have about 86 over charts that we have dissected. So D28, we have transactions of about 97 transactions being done due. Now, what is very interesting is the next slide. Because in this next slide, I would term it as very juicy information because it's not easy to extract this information. So what we've done is that we've compiled the number of available live property listings as of October 2023. So this is going to be very useful for you if you want to look at what we call the absorption rate. So I'm going to introduce this new term here. It's called PLB absorption rate. And how do we want to define this key term? Now, absorption rate means what is the amount of supply ratio, supply we determine as live inventory in the current market versus the demand that has been done in the past 2 to 3 quarters. So for today's context, we will look at Jan to September transacted landed homes versus current listings available in October. Of course, that's not going to be a very good kind of comparison because the fantastic kind of comparison that I will hope for is that from now onwards, we're going to compile data on a quarterly basis in terms of live available listings so that in the next 2, 3, 4 quarters, we can see has the supply ratio dip in accordance to demand. So let me come back here first, then later we'll deep dive into it. So we have compiled all the available landed listings on property portals in October 2023. And basically what has happened is that we have compiled based on corner terraces, detached homes, good class bungalows, inter terraces, semi-D, strata cluster homes. And in totality, let's say if you look at D19, there are 312 corner terraces being listed for sale. There are 203 detached homes being listed for sale. There are 537 inter terraces being listed for sale right now. And in total, there are 1,510 listings being listed for sale. Now, a quick disclaimer. Now, this whole table includes all tenor. Freehold, 99,999. I just want to look at in totality how many landed listings are there. And why is that important? Is because I want to know how many listings are listed for sale. We then compile these two portions here. The number of transactions that happen in Jan to Sep per district. For example, if I look at D19, there's 182 landed homes that have been transacted versus currently there's 1510 current listings in October. And of course, the next question to ask is that which portal should we look at and compile data from? Of course, we want to look at one of the most popular portals here. And of course, this was like a extracted from one of the images in one of the articles in 2019. Back then, there was still like a big five right here. But of course, as of today, we know that SRX has sort of been consolidated by 99, iProperty, technically, iProperty, of course, in terms of presence in Singapore, I think it has probably been sold to one of the big boys as well. I need to find out. But right now, usually people are only talking about the three main portals, PropertyGuru, 99, as well as HProp. But if we look at traffic from a lot of reports, PropertyGuru dominates in Singapore in terms of the amount of traffic as well as the number of agents that actually have an account here. In Singapore, for PropTech to work, most of the paying vendors are real estate brokers. They are real estate salespersons who pays the platform to purchase an account. And of course, every listing that they post, they have to pay a certain amount of fees or credits to the portals in order to list their listings on the portal to represent their home sellers to sell the sellers' homes. And of course, buyers, they don't have to pay anything. Consumers actually access these platforms for free. They connect with the seller agents that are listing the properties. And of course, these portals right here, they are, of course, genuine portals as well because they have to track the vendors, which are the property agents, based on their CEA registration number. So basically, these platforms, in today's context, they represent pretty genuine listings. Of course, from here, apart from genuine listings, we do have to take a discount factor because sometimes One listing can be marketed by multiple agents. If let's say the home seller does not sign an exclusive agent, they might appoint like 5 to 8 agents to list their landed home, for example. Or maybe some developers or boutique developers that has launched like a 5 landed properties on one street. They might appoint maybe like 10 agents to market for them. And maybe these agents, they have their own teams. So sometimes per listing, you can see like 20, 30 or 50 listings being listed on the platform. So we do have to take a discount factor. So even though, for example, if you look at the number of listings in D19 at about 1510, maybe we need to take like a 20, 30% cut from there. Probably it's about 1,000 genuine listings, unless we have like a AI tool to decipher how many similar listings are there. If not, it's very tough to decipher that as well. But for today's context, let's just look at the data that we have currently. So we talk about demand and supply. Demand, we have to look at transactions, because if we want to know the actual demand that has been done, we have to look at transactions. But for supply, we have to look at the current inventory, meaning that how many people are listing their listings on the platform. And these platforms can be dependent on, because every listing that the agent posts, they have to pay a certain amount of credit. To gain attention of their listings, they have to pay again. They have to press a button to boost their listings. And our property agents, let me share with you, they pay a lot to gain attention in order to have buyers connect with them, because there's a sea of listings on PropertyGuru. If you don't boost or pay extra money to pump your listing up to the top, let's say a buyer is looking for inter-terrace in District 19, just by going in, they can already see like hundreds of listings. And if the agent do not spend extra money, they cannot gain attention and buyers will not call them, and thus they will not have viewings, and their sellers will question them, why are there no viewings for my property? So basically, because of that behavior route, most of the time when an agent lists a listings, I would say that it will be pretty genuine, unless there are certain properties that has been sold, but it has not been removed or things like that. All right. So for that context, let's move on to this part here, and then we'll come back to understand a lot more about demand and supply. So PropertyGuru released their demand and supply index. This is their own index. However, their demand index is based on the amount of inquiries for their listings. For this, we will not follow that definition, because we want to look at actual transacted properties as a demand, kind of like a sentiment. However, for the supply index, if you notice, this is similar to what we talk about. For PropertyGuru, they have their own data because they own the platform. And as you can see, supply index is a yellow color line. It is pretty flat ever since 2021. There was a swarm of listings that was available during the COVID period. It seems that a lot of listings were cleared off and due to the spike in demand back then. And now there's sort of like a mismatch, because there was a lot of inquiries for a low number of supply. And of course, right now, demand based on their inquiries has tapered off a little bit. But there's still a gap in terms of the amount of inquiries versus the amount of listings that is available. This is being released by PropertyGuru on their Insights platform. So if I were to come here, and let's look at this. Just look at D19, for example. Why am I sharing with you this? Is because we want to go a few steps to see how we can extract some behaviors from this if you want to make a decision. So just imagine with me today, if you're a landed property buyer that's hunting for a landed home in D19, based on the charts that we have, and if you want to gain access to these charts, you can click on the link down below, or you can DM me on Nuggets on the Go podcast IG or my own personal IG. I'll be very happy to share with you a chart based on the district that you like to have. So you just need to DM me, hey Melvin, may I have the landed charts for District 28? Hey Melvin, may I have the landed charts for District 10? I'll be very happy to connect with you. Now, look at this. Basically, what we have done is that for every district itself, which is why we have 87 charts on this entire deck, we segregated them based on price tag. And this price tag is based on transactions. So landed private transactions that has been transacted below 3 mil is indicated by blue color. So for example, you can see 28 terrace properties has been transacted in the first 9 months that are done below $3 million. And then you have 87 terrace homes that have been transacted between 3 to 5 million. You have 16 terrace homes transacted between 5 to 7 million. If you look at semi-D homes, there were 18 semi-Ds that were transacted below 5 million, in the range of 3 to 5 million, 16 semi-Ds transacted between 5 to 7 million. Now, second chart, D19. So today, we'll just use one district as an example. And why is it important for you is that this allows us to look at the absorption rate. So for example, there are currently 312 advertisements, we call it listings, for sale on PropertyGuru. Based on the corner terraces that are being listed, 312, inter terraces, 537, transacted first 9 months, 131. Detached homes, 203 listings, only 14 transacted. 419 semi-D listings, only 36 transacted. 39 strata cluster house listings, only 1 transacted. Now, what does this tell you? This basically tells us a few things. Number one is that if I'm struggling to buy whether a semi-D or corner or inter-terrace, which one should I go for? Because if I look at the demand versus supply today, this is going to happen to me 3 years later if I want to sell after I complete my SSD. This is also going to happen to me 5 years later if I were to sell after I completed my SSD or I want to maybe downsize or move on to another home. And we always want to look at this is because we are concerned or we are trying to forecast the exit, the ease of exit next time. If the ease of exit is going to be very difficult, I want to be prepared first, because if this is going to be a home that I want to stay long term, then I'm fine. But if I firstly want to stay for long term, but I also want to have a little bit more flexibility that maybe after my children grows up, I might want to have some level of flexibility for me to exit easily. I don't want to be stuck with a property that has not much demand here, or I have to wait for a small pool of buyers that can absorb my listing. So, for example, if I own a detached in D19. So, for example, if I want to buy a detached in D19, let's say I really love D19. I must go in with a mindset knowing that, okay, it seems like based on 2023, which is a very stagnated year, because this year we have a lot of cooling measures, high interest rate. In fact, I would term this as one of the most challenging years in terms of amount of policies and war events and economy, turbulence comparing 2020 until now. So within these 4 years, this is one of the most challenging years with so much things happening at the same time. And that's also the reason why our year-to-year price index this year is increasing at the slowest pace. So I would need to know that maybe we'll end the year with 18 transactions or 20 transactions. But I always need to compete at this level, which might mean that my absorption rate by the end of this year, if there are about 20 units transacted here based on the amount of listings available, that could be like a 10% absorption rate. So a 10% absorption rate will mean that I will need to compete with like 10 people for one buyer. So if I look at, let's say, for example, like semi-Ds, 419 for sale units, 36, maybe I'll end the year with about 50. About 50 plus transactions, then that might represent about 13 or 14% absorption rate. Now, next chart. We then went one step even further and we look at the current available listings on PropertyGuru and we segregate them on two junctures. Number one, asking prices. So asking prices below 3 mil, 3 to 5, 5.7, 5 to 7, 7 to 10, 10 to 15, $15 million onwards, and the type of properties for sale right now in terms of number of listings. If you look at semi-D homes, there are 151 listings that are listed between 5 to 7 million. That means these properties are now listed for sale on PropertyGuru. You go to D19, you key in semi-D homes, there are about 151 listings from 5 to 7 million. Asking price. These are not done deals, asking price. And then that will then spark a question. If there are 151 semi-D listings asking between 5 to 7 mil, have a look at inter-terraces. There are 306 listings asking between 5 to 7 mil as well. So this is what we call an overlapping disparity. That means if you want to buy an inter-terraces that is 5 to 7 million, you should also explore the semi-Ds that are asking between 5 to 7 million, because semi-D is, of course, one status bigger than inter-terraces, and you don't want to caught in what we call a sandwich class next time. Second scenario, if you're planning to buy something that is 3 to 5 million, there are 207 inter-terraces listings. However, there are 115 corner terraces that are also asking 3 to 5 million. And there are still 32 semi-D homes asking between 3 to 5 million, which means that you should also explore corner terraces and semi-D before making a decision. So this is an example of how we want to look at absorption rate. And secondly, with the asking prices and the number of listings, we can also look at what we call the disparity effect. So the full webinar for this entire series has already been completed. Basically, myself and Beatrice, we did a full-on landed webinar. If you want to catch the replay of that webinar, you can also DM me or DM Nuggets on the Go. I'll be very happy to share the link with you if you were to sign up on our next webinar. All right, so we have come to the end of today's Cracking the Code. Basically, to sum it up, we've talked about past transactions data versus the current supply. It's very important to look at past transactions. Past transactions data are readily available. We just need to know that they are a little bit lagged in terms of timing, which is between 1 to 3 months. It is also very important to look at the current supply that is in the market, because then we can decipher absorption rate as well as disparity effect. So I hope that today's session has value added to you. Meantime, we'll see you on the next Cracking the Code on NOTG. Take care.